Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So if we check what is one of the main causes of our lacking peace in our relationships, we can address, you know, within our own experience that there is often, not always, but often, this sort of mental behavior of blaming, where we have some grievance with ourselves or someone else, or we're unhappy about a way something is going or how something has turned out. And then as a result, we are looking for something or someone to blame. And we don't actually recognize what that state of mind does. Like the experience that we generate within ourselves when we are in a state of mind that's blaming. Like we are not at peace. And as long as we stay in that state, we won't find peace. Like, because we can understand, we could have lots of objects of blame. Like we could spend our whole life blaming, right? Blaming our childhood, blaming this or that event and how it went, blaming missed opportunities, blaming our own mistakes, blaming others' mistakes, blaming our faults, blaming their faults, blaming the economy, blaming our society. We can just do that, right? And at no point will we feel at peace as a result of that. And then obviously from the Buddhist perspective, commonly our objects of blame are not, we would consider them not correct. Like the way in which we blame is not correct. It's not just like recognizing a responsibility. We think it's a defining characteristic. So it's not just like acknowledging, oh, that's the responsible party for this or that. It's actually what we feel is, you know, the characteristic of the person, including ourselves. And so often then we get trapped by our blame, you know, by blaming of ourselves or someone else. We get trapped by it. And it's usually a fuel for anger, isn't it? Who we've decided is to blame is then who we then direct our anger towards. So if it's us, we direct our anger towards ourselves. If it's someone else, we direct our anger towards them. So if we think about this part of it, you know, the blame that then, you know, generates some kind of anger, whether it be self-anger, self-hatred, or focused on other people, in Buddhist psychological teachings on anger, one of the reasons why we consider anger not to be trustworthy is it's not relating to, we could say it's relating to things, that mind of anger is relating to things in a mistaken way. So for example, when we're angry, we're thinking about, or when we're blaming, we're thinking about a way things should have been, but are not, or could have been, but are not. So we're like in a state of if only, or what if. And so basically we're relating to something that hasn't actually happened, right? So it was an idea, right? We had an idea of how things could be or should have been. And then that's in contradiction with or contrary to what has actually occurred. And so we're hanging on to our version of what we wished could have been. And then as a result, we're not actually facing what is. So I think this is not just kind of a hallmark of anger, but I think we can say the same happens with blame. We're in our mind's eye relating to a version of events or a version of people that doesn't exist. It's a non-existent. Not that things can't change and improve and people can't be different, but the version in that moment that's appearing to our mind, whether it be ourselves or someone else, is not what is actually in front of us, right? Which the reality that we're facing. There's a contradiction. And so as a result, you know, we find that disturbing. It's a source of a lot of negativity. There's no peace in that place. So it's really important to address this and how we can kind of maneuver it, because otherwise what we'll find is we're just, if we're not careful, it becomes a habit, you know, where we're just staying in the sort of bitterness of like blaming all these different instances as to why, you know, we're unhappy. I have this not directly related, but I always think of this when I think of this topic, which is in terms of wrong blaming, like blaming the wrong things. I remember one time I was it was with my grandmother, and it was at a point where she didn't have very good hearing. And she was visiting my parents' house, and they have a glass coffee table where they used to. And she had put her coffee cup down on like the glass surface. I'm like looking for a glass surface, right? Like she'd put it like that. And so she heard the sound, this loud sound, and she looked at me. I said, "What did you do?" And I was like, "I didn't do anything. You did that. That was you. You put the coffee cup. It made noise on the table, you know, because her sense of hearing was, so she was like looking around to see like who made the noise, but it was she who made the noise, right? And so it was funny. Like we had, it was a very kind of funny moment where, you know, we had a nice time, but that discovery of like, oh, it was me. And then she thought it was funny. I think the same thing, we want to have that kind of same experience tonight where this shouldn't feel heavy. It should feel like, oh, it's the mind of blame. That's what's in the way, you know, that kind of aha. Oh, is that it's not me in a sense, but it's my mind blaming that is the root of this lack of peace or this disharmony. And that insight should give us some relief. We're like, oh, I'm happy to know that. Happy to realize that it's this sort of mental, you know, routine that I'm in that is keeping me in this place, because that discovery leads us to then changing that mental routine, changing that set of habits. So we want to, as we approach this subject, try to do it lightly, right? It shouldn't, even though this mind can be at the root of a lot of our unhappiness, we want to try and look at it in a light way. So if we address, you know, like, okay, what does it produce when I blame myself? So usually what happens when we blame ourselves is we focus on some way that we've fallen short in our own expectations of ourselves, right? So we have an ideal, right? And maybe it's not even that we aren't those ways some of the time, but in a particular instance, we've fallen short, you know, maybe in an interaction with someone on a given occasion, in a given situation, we've fallen short of the bar we've set for ourselves. And rather than just acknowledging that and thinking, yeah, that happens sometimes, or using that to kind of like come to a good conclusion, like, okay, I want to work on that, or I'm going to try harder next time, or, you know, that's something that the room for improvement there. We kind of hone in on that where we've fallen short, and then we have magnified its significance and really identified ourselves to be it, like the fault or the mistake or the shortcoming. We think that's me. I am that. And then as a result, we blame ourselves. And then that, as a result of that, you know, we don't like ourselves very much. If we're constantly fixated with our faults and our imperfections and where we fall short, if we do that a lot, we will be in a perpetual state of insecurity, actually. You know, just like if somebody is constantly berating you, and unless you have like a really thick skin or you really give that person no power at all over you, then if they're berating you all the time, you'll start to like listen to their critiques or their, you know, criticism, and you'll start to believe it. And then very easily it starts to be that in the presence of that person, because you feel judged, you're insecure all the time. So we can do that with respect to ourselves, where we're insecure all the time in the presence of ourselves, because there's some like hypervigilant part of our mind that's constantly like looking for where we're falling short or where we're going to fall short. Like we're already assuming we're going to fall short. We're like, yep, you're not going to live up to, you know, what I want you to live up to. So this kind of blaming ourselves for our own mistakes and shortcomings and imperfections definitely reduces our ability to feel confident, increases our discouragement. And then we can find that if we're not careful, if that's a kind of continual habit, that it really limits what we're willing to even begin to endeavor to do. Like where we'll have like a very deep tendency to quit before we've begun, because we're going to fail anyway. So why bother trying? Or we won't even put ourselves out there for a new experience, a new interaction, a new relationship, because we're like, oh, it's not going to work. Because I always mess it up, right? Because I have all these faults and I never say the right thing and I never do the right thing, you know? So this kind of is the effect of blaming ourselves. And then we can understand similarly when we blame other people, it's not so different. We've focused on where they've fallen short of our expectations, where they're not meeting our preferences, where they're not meeting what we've decided is our needs that they should be meeting, right? We focused on that. And then as a result, we're blaming them for the unpleasant feelings we have with respect to it, painful feelings we have. You know, we're blaming them for the actions they performed that caused us harm. So then again, we can see that as long as we do that, I mean, in the case of others, it's a little bit different than when we're blaming ourselves, because with respect to ourselves, we can always change, right? We can always change ourselves if we want to, but we don't have a power to change other people. So blaming them, thinking that's going to change them, is it just a dead end? It's like driving around a cul-de-sac thinking we're getting somewhere, right? We're like, I'm just going to keep blaming you and hating you into trying to change you. Like, that's going to work. Let me just do that a little more and see if that changes you. It doesn't, right? Just like we know, if somebody is hating us perpetually, how inclined are we to want to change, right? If somebody's criticizing us and blaming us all the time for their unhappiness, do we sort of like, oh yeah, you're so right. I'm so sorry. I'm going to change. I'll never do that again. Probably not, right? Not unless from our side, we really acknowledge the truth of that and are ready to go in that direction. Generally, if somebody's doing that, we get defensive. And maybe sort of the worst version of those qualities comes out because we're in a defensive state of mind. So we're less likely to want to agree, less likely to want to, you know, take on board what they've said and think that there's some merit to it. So this is where we can kind of see this blaming mind goes. So then it's really important that we have some different ways of dealing with this so that we can change this, like I said, mental routine or habit of blaming, so that we can begin to either not have that be sort of an immediate reaction where we're looking for somebody to blame. That would be great if that wasn't our just knee-jerk reaction. But even more so that we begin to understand what to blame. What to blame. Because it may be kind of a far-fetched request to be like, okay, I'm going to stop blaming. And we tell ourselves, I'm not going to blame anymore. But maybe what we can begin with is I'm going to change what I blame. Like, can I learn what to blame? Like, what's to blame? So this is where there's a whole section in the chapter we've been looking at this month, the chapter on how to enhance cherishing love. It's a whole section called Living Beings Have No Faults. And it's basically the keys, like the keys to finding peace in relationships, sort of keys to being able to forgive ourselves and others, and learning what's to blame and what isn't. So there's many different sections in this part of the chapter that are really practical, really helpful that I want to introduce in the hope that some of this might be helpful, right? So you maybe not all of it is going to work, but there might be a few points where you think, okay, I can try that, right? That might be helpful. So the main theme, though, just as a general overview, is distinguishing between a person and their faults, ourself, other people, because at an occasion where we're blaming, we've had them be one and the same in our mind, right? The object of blame is the person, and you know the faults is like one and the same. So we are to blame if we're blaming ourselves, or someone else is to blame if we're blaming them. And what Buddha said is we need to kind of create some distinctions. We need to have a little bit more of a refined perspective whereby we separate the person from the behavior that is to blame, or from what we call in Buddhism delusions. Because from the Buddhist perspective on the mind, a person is not their deluded or negative states of mind. They are not their faulty minds. They are not their mistakes. They have them, right? They have them, but just having something doesn't mean we are something. So this is really where we need to start, because Buddha is not acknowledging in those teachings that we're not responsible for our faults, mistakes, and shortcomings, and so on, or that others aren't responsible for, of course. But that doesn't require the belief that we are one and the same with. So the example I like is, you know, you take any possession you have that you own, that you're responsible for. You understand you're responsible for it. Like maybe you own a car, maybe you own a house, or maybe you own just really great stuff. Like maybe nothing, just a lot of great stuff. You're responsible for your stuff. You're responsible for whether or not you keep those things, the state at which you maintain those things, whether you get rid of those things. You know, like your car, if it's your car and you own it, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility, whether it's clean or dirty or maintained or not, or has gas in it or doesn't. Like there's nobody else's job to do that. It's your job. But you never think you're the same as your car, right? You don't look at your car and think me, right? You look at your car and you think mine, you know, or you look at your shoes and you think mine. You don't think me. And you don't think you're defined by the state of your things, even though you're responsible for them. So say the state of your things is not great. You know, maybe your stuff's in disrepair, right? But you don't think, oh, then I'm in disrepair. you don't overly identify with your possessions, while at the same time, you acknowledge you're responsible for them. So using this as an example is very helpful, because what Buddha is saying is just apply that to your mind. It's very much the same. So you're responsible for the state of your mind, right? For if you're, the state of your mind is positive or negative or unpeaceful or disturbed, like nobody other than you can do that, change that. But it doesn't mean you are one and the same with different mental states. So say you have a negative mind, and the faults that may be made as a result of some negative, unpeaceful, uncontrolled mind. You're not the same as those things. You possess them. It's your mind. It's your faults. It's your mistakes. But that doesn't mean you are those things. Like having mistakes doesn't mean you are mistaken. Having faults doesn't mean you're faulty. Just like having a car doesn't mean you are your car. So this is the kind of distinction we need to make. If we can make it with respect to ourselves, then it really reduces the sort of discontent we might have or feel with respect to ourselves, can be at peace with ourselves. And then, of course, we can apply the same thing to others. And we can begin to forgive ourselves, forgive others, understand there's a difference between a person and their faults or mistakes.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.